FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
Stupid machine.
Wow, there is so much going on in that track, and it was only like after about 2 or 3 minutes that you realise it was an old classic. It took me back to 1982 with that song that we all knew that was number one, but before that I was in the 70s, possibly the late 60s, maybe smoking some really funny, incredible stuff. What a great sound, what a great tune. I wouldn't have thought that was Happy Talk, but it was Talk Happy, and one of the people behind that, I'm guessing there were more than one, is
no, it's me.
It's just you.
Well, with Marvin the Paranoid Android.
So you're talking in the
background. And Zaphod Beeblebrooks.
Wow. So welcome, Steve Good. How are you?
Welcome. So welcome from me. What am I talking about? It's just your place, isn't it? I'm fine. Thank you very much. Love it to meet you, Ian, at last.
It's been too long, hasn't it? You've sent me songs now for a number of years. You sent me kind messages.
It's your own fault.
Yeah, I reply to them occasionally. You've sent me so many great songs.
Have I?
And that was one of them. I love that. I'm trying to think. Is it Yes? Is it something else? There's something else it reminds me of.
Yeah.
But it's definitely got Talk Happy Talk in it.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying to you before, that my inspiration for that is I've always been a big fan of Dave Stewart and Barbara Gaskin, and I just love that they always used to take classic songs, like It's My Party, and they take it somewhere else, and I thought...
That's what you did there,
I could have a go at that. And I did. I sent it to Dave, and he actually wrote back, I think, two words, that's nice. I thought, well, very nice. I'll take that. No, he's a cool guy. So, that's the inspiration behind that. And Hitchhiker's Guide, we all loved the Hitchhikers at that time. 35 years ago that was. So it's
incredible. Look, let's go right back to the beginning. You and music.
Let's go back.
Let's go back in time. When did you first, get into music, start writing music? What was
writing
the first
music.
Stuff you wrote?
Well, the first stuff I actually started doing for myself was it's October 74. Remember that quite categorically is when I bought my first Tandberg sound-on-sound tape recorder. And I used to sort of come home and go to the loo, have a cup of tea and think, let's write something. Lyrics were the bad one. I used to have to sit on the toilet and write lyrics.
Right.
For 10 minutes, I get a good song,
Right, okay.
We'll leave it there.
Yeah.
But I mean, the early ones were pretty rubbish, but I mean, you sort of honed your skills over years. But sound, using sound on sound, I don't know if you know how sound on sound works. You sort of record on the left channel, say guitar, then on the right channel, you'd send that across and perhaps put a vocal on. But then that's fine. But then when you have to send it back to the left channel, you're rubbing out the left channel. So it's a bit like bouncing on, on a trampoline. It's a bit hit and miss, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, so I've got loads of ones where it didn't.
Well, I would imagine that there was a lot
but
of
that
music
was, yeah oh that, that was four track, that was remixable, so that was 91, so that was we actually moved up the four track then, so that was okay.
But back in the day there was a lot of tracks that would be created in that way,
and then
played on like stereos later on. They would disappear on one speaker, wouldn't they?
Really,
even today, I mean, there's still stuff that I sat there thinking, hang on, it's disappeared. If you only got
Beach
one
Boys
speaker,
stuff. Yeah, I know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that's the influence as well, the Beach Boys, Beatles, that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Anything with a B, really, basically. Beach Boys, Birds, Bob.
Burt Bacharach.
Well, yeah, actually, Burt Bacharach. Yeah, exactly. What a writer. What an arranger, you know. So
I was joking.
Yeah, yeah. No. I like Burt Bacharach, yeah.
No, cool.
This guy's in love with Burt Bacharach. Oh, there.
There you go. You nearly went into it.
Oh, yes, nearly.
So you've been in a number of bands as well.
Mostly low-key, most of them the right band at the wrong time sort of thing.
Right.
I mean, there was a band I was in with, you've played some stuff in the past by Free Sample, thankfully. Bless you, Ian.
It's a pleasure.
We're still working on our unreleased album from about 40 years ago. Anyway, I digress. The first time I was actually in a band with Trevor was this band which played a free festival in Watchfield. It was a bit frightening, let's put it bluntly, you know, actually in a field in Watchfield Airport, that's where it was, in Wiltshire, and we played there, and where am I going with this? Yes, so we played the gig. I remember the guy doing the sound, actually saying the drum sounded like a bag of vegetables. Well, they probably did. but the nice plus thing about that is the system we played through, the foldback was owned by a band called The Motors, I think it's The Motors anyway.
Airport. They had a big hit called
Motors?
Airport.
Actually,
didn't
was
they?
It The Motors? I've got myself doubting myself now. Yeah, yeah, they did, yes.
And Forget About You.
That's it, yeah. Was it The Motors? I may have got that wrong. But you may have actually heard of the band that actually had the PA from it. They were Pink something or other.
Not was Floyd, was it?
Yeah.
You're joking, not really? Good grief.
Pink Floyd's PAs. That's about as good as my history goes. Apart from the fact that as we were coming off, we were met by this guy who was he had a van full of his drums that were bigger than the van that had all our gear in for a five piece, and he was pretty snarky, as he always is. It was Ginger Baker.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so he followed us on. He sort of said, "When the big guys turn up, the small fry get out of the way." I thought, bless you, mate.
Right, okay.
I still love him.
Yeah. And that was his attitude, was it?
Wasn't it always, you know? And the fact that I think he was still trying to negotiate his fee.
Right,
yeah. His fee for playing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see where I was going with that one.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Hey, look, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with another one of your tunes. Go on, pick one. I mean, we've got a load lined up, but pick one. You mentioned their Free Sample. What's the best thing you've sent us so far?
Ooh, a Free Sample? Well, I haven't sent it to you yet.
Oh, you haven't? The best one?
It's 8.5 minutes long, that's why.
Right, okay.
I
better just warn the afternoon noon guy that we're going to be about 10 minutes late.
No. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, we'll take the break. During the break, we'll find it, all right?
All right, mate,
something, we'll stick it on.
Okay.
All right, stick around.
Okay.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company.
Vectis Radio.
Wasting time.
Another great cover that is totally different from the original. That's Steve Good. Steve Good's in the studio, and there is a lady on that song with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the lady.
Well, she's a local lady. I don't know where she is now, but a lady called Annabelle Spencer. She did a couple of songs recorded for me. I remember the day very well. I mean, she stood in our hall, and she also did, If Not For You, for our George Harrison project. She'd never even heard it when she came around. She didn't know what the song was all about. I mean, about half an hour, you know, she'd wrapped it up, two vocals, and off she went, you know, and a great singer. I just wish she did more. I don't think she does anything now, so
I'll send you
a link, Annabelle. Have a listen. Yeah, you're on the radio.
That was kind of scary.
Annabelle, you're on the radio.
So we got, look, we got a load of your tracks to play.
Have you?
But that last one just sounded like a bit of Motta Hoople in there.
Oh right. Oh,
somewhere.
I'll take that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, it's all sort of for me. Yeah. It's back in the 70s.
Yeah, probably. You know? Yeah.
So what was the first musical instrument you picked up, started playing?
I've actually got a recording of it, much to my family's disgust. It's 1964, around about March. I had my brother's guitar across my lap. I was playing the bass to Money.
Oh wow, nice!
And we went downhill from there.
Okay.
And a bit later that year, we lived in the Paddington in the north. Of Kensington, and we had to move out, and we moved in with my cousins Joyce and Ted and their mum and dad in Wembley. There's eight of us in one little three bed house for about 3 months. It was interesting, but we both had little tape recorders, and we did loads of recordings of songs of the day, and I think unfortunately that was my downfall.
so
that was really when it all started, but you know, it's
Bass was the first thing you picked up.
Playing it like that across my lap, you know.
Right.
It was awful.
And did you?
It's not for public consumption.
Were you in a band at all at those early days?
No,
did you form a band?
I was 10.
Well, you never know, do you? I mean, you know, you got to start young.
Yeah. Well, my dad named us. I mean, Joyce and Ted, they come from Wembley. We came from, say, Kensington. My dad named us the Kembleys. I've got about 2 hours of tapes, which I'm threatening to put on CD for my cousins. You know? So if they don't behave themselves, they got birthdays and Christmases coming up.
So that's got to be worth a few quid to you then, if you don't do this.
Oh yes, quite definitely.
Where are you going for your holiday?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How much can I afford to keep me quiet? Yeah.
So come on. That's it, really. Let's play another song. There's a Salty Dog here. Salty Dog doesn't mean anything to me.
Procol Harum.
So you're back in that time, era again.
I mean, have you not heard Salty Dog before?
No, I don't know.
Well, this one, I've loved this. I mean, everyone knows White Shade and Homburg.
Yeah.
But Salty Dog was always the one. It always choked me up.
Was it a single?
Oh, yeah.
It kind of rings a bell, but the name didn't.
Mm.
When I heard you play it, eventually I heard the tune in it and thought, it kind of rings a bell, but I didn't know that it was, you know, Procol Harum.
Oh, yeah, but I couldn't have done it without a good pianist. And I've become big friends with this lady called Jeannie Evans, and she didn't know it, but she heard it. She thought, ooh, there's a nice classical crossover there, but she's... great pianist. So she sent off for the music in America to get it, and that's where we are. I thought I had to finish it, you know. So she did. Doing the vocals was really hard, because you can probably tell I sort of choke up in places, because it's for me it means a lot. So to actually be able to do that with her intervention, you know, I really, if I had four locks, I'd tug them for her, you know. You know, so I mean, with her intervention, she's actually helped with a few things over the years, so you know.
When you mention classical, you can hear the classical crossover, can't you?
Well, yeah.
A mixture of, especially the first song, there was definitely some classical stuff in there. And
daft
yet,
stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but you say
classically
that.
Classically daft,
yeah. I think that's a perfect way of explaining it, yeah. So this is a Salty Dog then, and we'll come back after this.
Okay.
A Salty Dog, and that's another one of Steve Good's tracks. And who's on the keyboard there?
It's Jeannie Evans.
Jeannie Evans,
and yeah.
Look, we've got to talk about this, because I've just queued up the
Genius
song.
Evans, I call it.
Genius, yeah. like that. Now, we're going to go into a break in a minute. We're going to play something from the All Things Collective. Tell me about that.
Well, the whole album. Well, it sort of started with a project, because I've done... quite a few charity projects over the years, and I think it was about 2012, 2013, we did a project for the the Japanese tsunami, we put together this EP, and one of the tracks on there was ended up on here, and it's made us think, well, that was pretty good. We joking, me and Paul, my mate Paul, who's actually on that, jokingly sort of said, why don't we do the whole album? I thought, in your dreams, pal. Well, it took 10 years, but we actually got there in the end, you know, so, and I was really quite chuffed with how that came out, so...
Because it's not a short album, is it?
It's a triple album, but we did it as a double album, so the third album, you probably know it, it's actually just got lots of jams on there, and we weren't going to be that anal that we were going to copy the jams, what's the point, you know, so...
Yeah.
So we actually did it as a double album, and that was really good. I mean, it brought in people from all around the world. I mean, there's Kathy from America, there's a lady in the Philippines who did some artwork for us, you know, there's all sorts of people just flying in their vocal parts and what have you, and Paul's son played I think he played trumpet on one of the tracks, but I thought, wow, how lovely is this, you know, rather than using keyboard trumpets, I've got a trumpet on there, you know, so yeah, it's lovely, and it's a nice way to sort of kind of sign off, you know, my big project, you know, and 6 years ago, it doesn't seem possible.
It was during COVID times you sent it through.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were failing. We were going to fall over. I thought, no, I'm running out of time because the wife's, you probably know, she's had a couple of really bad illnesses and she's still struggling now. But at one stage, I had 1.5 songs that one hadn't been started, one hadn't been finished. I thought she had to go into hospital for 3 weeks and I couldn't see her. So I said to her, do you mind if I finish this off? You can't do anything else, can you? You know, so thankful to the man up there. He gave us the time, you know, to actually be able to finish it off. So, yeah, so it's a labour of lunch.
A labour of lunch, like could you just tell us about the song, Something Must Pass, because it's a Harrison song?
It's Something and All Things Must Pass, yeah. I mean, it's topped and tailed by Something, but the actual guts of the song is actually All Things Must Pass, sung by... Paul Kindred and Kim as well. So yeah, so she's actually done a not Paul's not Arthur's Kim Huckridge. Sorry, I was struggling for her surname there. I mean, she was a great help with a lot of projects as well. So yeah, so they actually sent in their vocal lines and it's all patched together on the 24 track. And yeah, and another one I was really quite proud of, basically because I'm not singing on it. Not ruining it,
right? So it is a Harrison,
thing. Yeah, well, Something from All Things Must Pass, and then it goes into All Things. So it's Something from Abbey Road. They're going into All Things Must Pass from the All Things Must Pass album. So yeah,
because I wasn't really, I used to love the Beatles, Paul McCartney, bit of Lennon.
Used to,
but you know, used to.
Steady.
But I didn't know too much about George Harrison.
Yeah,
and then when I heard it, and I thought. I'll be honest, when I first heard it, I thought, has he just dumped a track on there that's George Harrison and claimed it to be his own?
No.
All right? Because I listened to it, and I listened to the original, and I thought, my God, they're really close.
Mm.
If you were like me, and somebody said, and you weren't aware of the song, you would have probably got away with the fact that, it's George Harrison.
Yeah. Oh, it is all George Harrison, yeah.
Yeah, but it sounds like George Harrison, yeah.
Oh, bless you.
I mean, it does. Yeah. You are pushing. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. You can hear that song, and you can hear that in just a tick. Yeah, after the break, the air break, you're going to hear Something Must Pass, the All Things Collective.
Yeah, I'll quickly say that was we actually did quite well for that. It was actually basically before we put out the double album, if you like, but that was all money for the NHS we raised for that. So it all went to St Mary's and their ambulance service. So I thought, yeah, big up to St Mary's, because yeah, without them, my wife wouldn't be where she is.
No, that's a lovely story, a lovely touch. Yeah, Thank you for that.
Yeah, so it's lovely.
So, quick break. Coming back with the All Things Collective, Something Must Pass, and got to be honest with you, you'd be struggling to tell the difference.
Vectis Radio, award-winning community radio.
That is a lovely track. I like that. That is All Things Collective. Something Has Passed. Obviously, there's a nod to the Beatles, George Harrison, but it's local. And there was a female voice in there as well.
Yeah, Kim.
Oh, hang on a bit. I better put your microphone up.
Yeah. One, two.
You wouldn't think I've been doing this for a few years, would you?
You'll grow into it. Yeah.
I'll edit that bit out.
Yeah, that's Paul Kindred and Kim Huckridge. I'll get her name right this time. Sorry, Kim. Please forgive me. Checks in the post. Yeah, yeah. Two very talented singers, you know.
And that took you 10 years to produce not just that one track.
Yeah, well, the whole album, just under 10 years. It's about 9 years all in. Yeah, I mean, we sat on it for a while, sort of sniggering, thought, do the whole thing, what are you on about? You know, but when we sort of kicked into it, you know, one track became two, became five, you know. I always remember the first one we actually did as the revisit, if you like. It was, what was it? Isn't It a Pity? And I put a thing actually on Facebook saying, anybody want to actually do some vocals on this? And I sort of sent a link out to one lady in America. Within half an hour, she'd sent this storming vocal back, you know, just recorded on her phone. I mean, this is how we were doing things. You know, I thought, that'll do. Thank you very much. Lovely. You know, and so it just kick-started from there. You know, the impetus, you know, it's just like a ball rolling down a hill. You know, so, yeah, it's fun.
6 years ago, and 10 years in the making.
Yeah,
wow.
Couldn't do it now.
So, what are you up to now? I mean, you're like semi-retired, are you?
I am retired. I'm in my 70s now, so I mean, I don't
really.
Yeah, yeah.
Good grief.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, you're a good man.
So, I mean, do you get up in the morning, pick up a guitar, or do something? And
get up in the morning.
All right, when you get up in the afternoon, do you pick up a guitar and
do
all of that?
No, I hardly ever touch a guitar, unless the likes of Trev sort of, you know, sends over this unfinished track and thought, yeah, it needs a new bass line, and oh, I'll do a bass, I can manage a bass, you know.
So have you got a studio at home that you can...
Yeah, I've got a couple of 24 tracks at home which I sort of bounce stuff around on. I don't tend to use laptops like a lot of people do, which would give you unlimited...
Yeah.
Tracks. I like to actually see them laid out in front of me with a piece of gaffer tape across the top with all the tracks written on, you know, so I can remember which fader to ring in. You know.
Old school.
I love old school.
I must admit.
Old school but digital. Yeah.
Yeah. If you can listen to music now, I mean, that's you know, you can tell what's old school and what's not.
Well, yeah. I try to have that sort of mentality, you know, to actually get something of that ilk out there, you know. So
have you thought about doing anything like live again or
no? Well, that said,
right, okay, here we go.
No
oh, right. You tease.
Yeah, I am a bit I had what I termed my quail song gig at the Dairyman's a few years ago with good mate Mike Tuffery. He's a corker, another corker of a guitarist. He comes over, he lives near Reading, and he comes over occasionally. In fact, he's over here, I think, in a couple of months' time. Bring him in. And he's great. He'll play live everywhere, and he always tries to pull me out to play. And I did these two songs down at the Dairyman's. I must admit, I enjoyed doing it, but I thought, no, I don't want to do any more. You know, that was it. You know,
you don't want to do it. That's it.
Really.
You're almost like, that's retired.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind
of. I mean, I never say never, you know, but... Who knows? Yeah.
So you've got
no intentions of
you've got no
threatening
projects.
Other people's ears with my nonsense ever again. You know.
You've got no projects on the go then.
Only the one with Trevor to try and finish off this free sample album, which never got finished. You know, because we lost one of our guys just over a year ago now, and we're finding old songs of his. We could have finished them, you know, and using AI to strip down his vocals and what have you. We're actually rebuilding some of these old songs, and they're half decent, you know.
Yeah.
So you might get them yet.
Yeah, let's hope so, because I say was that going to be the final project, do you think?
It would never be the final project, but it'll always be something.
Good, I'm glad.
It's a bit like the final Beatles single. Yeah, like it's the final Beatles single. Yeah,
there'll be something else I'll find.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Will. Yeah, yeah.
So how many tracks are there to be completed?
I think there'll probably be about a good dozen in the end. I mean, we've got about five or six, but I mean, Trev's always finding other stuff, you know, bless him. You know, he's got more energy than me. I've got a couple of years start on him.
Yeah. How hard is it? Like, I mean, you know, technology has moved on and you can do so much more, but how hard emotionally is it? Knowing for a while that you're doing something for someone else he's not here anymore.
It's probably a bit like, you know, when the Beatles, the Threatles, you know, did the two songs, sort of saying, you know, it's okay, John's in the room with them, you know, actually hearing Steve Davis's vocal in your ear, thinking, oh, you know, he's still around, you know, he's still relevant, you know, and it's as clear as day, you know.
Yeah.
So it is quite heart-wrenching at times, but I think you press on, you know, pull his fader down and just do it without him or pull it down a bit. So, yeah, it's hard. but you know that you're doing it for him as well, so you know.
So have you got a finished date, really? Do you have an idea? You're not going to rush it.
No.
You want to make it perfect, but you want to complete it.
Well, we do. Yeah. There are a couple of things that he's actually working. Trev's working on now. So I'll expect a phone call, Trev. Well, we're overdue, yeah.
Yeah, Trev.
Yeah, Trev.
Where's Trev based?
He's Suffolk.
He's Suffolk,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's just round the corner.
So how long have you lived on the island?
We've been here 11 years now. 11 years, that seems possible, does it?
Yeah. You know? Let's talk about local talent for a minute, because I say there's so much of it. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's incredible. When you played Steve Young the other day, I thought, I'm going to cancel my visit. You know, he was that was great. I mean, there's a lot of it, isn't there? It's abundant over here. I think we're very, very lucky. You know, I ought to get out and see more, to be honest, really.
See more and play more with them, maybe.
Sorry, did you say something?
Yeah, I did.
Maybe. Yeah. I'll let you organise that then, Ian.
Yeah, all right then, I will.
Oh, no.
Hey, look, we're going to finish up with a song called Room to Breathe.
Can I just actually say a couple of words before we...
Have you said enough already?
No. it's a good mate of mine, Jimmy Wrightson. He wrote, because I said, I'm putting together this book of my journal, if you like, of all the stuff I've actually done over the years. I said, can you write poems? And he writes very quick poem. Don't worry, it's not War and Peace. He wrote this to me, and I thought this is very apt. When music is your living, it brings both joy and strife. When music's played for pleasure, then music is your life. And I thought that was marvellous, absolutely marvellous.
That's a T-shirt there, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
In the making.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us about Room to Breathe.
Room to Breathe. Oh, well, it's one of the first things I wrote. 1975 I wrote this. I don't know what else to say about it, really. I just wanted to do a bit of an upbeat song. What does that say about it, really? I don't know. It speaks for itself. You know?
All right. Hey, look, Steve.
It's nonsense.
Thanks for being a great guest this lunchtime. We're going to play out with Room to Breathe in
a minute.
Right, stay tuned, because Jack's on the way with Amy this afternoon. They've got Thesis in. They're going to be joining them, local artists. And then at 4 o'clock today, for the last time, we've got Steve Cowley, because he's off to breakfast, and taking over the Tea Time Show next week will be James Harwood, and there's a few other changes that are afoot. More details are on our website. Hey, look, it's 4 minutes to 1. This is Room to Breathe. Steve Good.